The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are in the doctrine of happiness or joy. So we'll pick up around Roman numeral 3, page 2 of our notes. All right, if we expect to assimilate the information unfiltered by the SGA, unfiltered by God, the Holy Spirit, demands that we are in fellowship. It is in this way that the human spirit, our soul, can receive the truth of Bible doctrine, undistorted by the fleshly desires that each of us have by our very nature of being humans, and otherwise gap the spiritual information that obviously is embedded in regards to the scriptures and their words, and in this way correctly understand and discern the things of God so that we can have the boast, if you will, of knowing and understanding God and His plan for our lives. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us in understanding of the concept and doctrine at hand this evening, to employ it in regards to our own lives and have a true appreciation by divine standards in this respect. God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the concepts of happiness or joy, as the words can be interchangeably translated in regards to the Hebrew and Greek words, is an emotion. Obviously, happiness is opposite of things such as anger, an emotion, sorrow, depression, adversity, misery, things of this nature. It is an emotion that has with it the feeling of exuberance, contentment, peace. Things of this nature are generally associated with one's happiness. It comes about by one expecting good things to happen or acquiring good things of relationships that obviously one so desires, and one regards that relationship as being and fulfilling one's expectations in this regards. All these things relate to happiness. Doctrinally, it recognizes that happiness can be temporary, or it can have a lot deeper impact in regard to one's life and exist in an eternal state in this respect. So it denotes the believer that in their relationship with God, they have Him as their object of joy or happiness, and in that regards, the happiness that they have is within, begins within, even though it may be expressed overtly, and is divine in nature. And hence, we refer to it with the acronym plus H, as it denotes an absolute happiness, a happiness that cannot be diminished by those other aspects of life otherwise that bring about sorrow, misery, pressure, things of this nature. So is a happiness that one should obviously desire within because it will carry them through those times of testing where there is real pressure, there is sorrow, and other circumstances that otherwise are considered to be bad in human eyes, and still maintain within that contentment of recognizing and knowing that God's your friend. And draw upon the happiness of doctrine and your relationship with God to carry you through these times and periods of testing. Roman numeral 3, where we pick up in regards to the doctrine itself, looks at plus H, the absolute happiness, as it relates to God. So plus H and God. So A, now God by his very nature cannot improve himself or his situation. God is perfect. If he's perfect, that means he can be nothing more or nothing less. Everything is absolutely in tune, in harmony, and centers in regards to his very existence, in regards to his person, and therefore with his attributes we recognize in the attributes of omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and things of this nature. God's not learning and excelling, having an acceleration of knowledge regards his life and things of this nature. He is all-knowing. He is in a perfect state. So he is the supreme being in the universe. He is what perfection is all about. And for those who have a desire to attain to perfection, there is only one avenue in regards to one having that asset in their portfolio of understanding as well as quality of character in their life, and that is through God and his nature and what he provides for mankind under grace. So B, he possesses a perfect, immutable happiness. You can picture God, even though he is a spirit, obviously, as constantly with a smile or a laugh on his face. And it's unchanging. Even when he may be executing judgment in regards to mankind, such as eternal damnation, judging and sentencing people to the lake of fire and things of this nature. His happiness is immutable. It is unchanging. It is the same today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he possesses a perfect, immutable happiness since he is perfect and lives in a perfect environment. Whatever environment we have in regards to our physical world that is less than perfect, obviously God is immune to that. 1 Chronicles 16:27. Verse 26, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. Idols are non-entities. They are not true reality in regards to gods. And idols are perpetuated or perpetrated, invented through the simple nature of man and their unwillingness to align themselves with God and recognize God for who and what he is. But the Lord made the heavens. He is a real God. He is the creator of our universe. And he created exactly as the scriptures has outlined that he has created it. It is not something that he just lit the firecracker of the Big Bang and everything else evolved over millions and billions of years ago, as our modern day science would teach your children to believe otherwise. No, he created it in a literal 6 days. 24-hour days, God created the heavens and the earth, restored them, obviously, in that time frame, in that respect. So he is a true God. He is a real being. He is a person. Again, he's just not some concept or wandering spirit. He is a real person. As personable as any one of us in our own association with one another and communication and things of this nature. But when you meet his person face to face, it will be a little different experience than just simply a human being. In verse 27, splendor and majesty are before him, recognizing it, the environment of which he chooses to manifest himself, and that is in the third heaven. And splendor and majesty looks at all the accolades of being the supreme being in the world, of the universe, and of all things being manifested around him in like manner. Strength and joy are in his place. His omnipotence, obviously, is the power that makes all this powerful, makes all this possible, and holds all this together in regards to his existence, etc. Joy looks at the happiness that God consistently and always has had and has and will have in regards to his very existence of who and what he is. He can't be anything better. See? But why would he want to be if he's perfect? You got to really look at the word perfect in that regards. Perfect means just exactly that. It can't be improved upon. And in Psalm 16:11, Psalm of David. Recognizing God for who and what he is. Drawing upon his knowledge of God for his own confidence of knowing certain things will occur in his life without question. Such as verse 11, "You will make known to me the path of life." That's because David recognizes his poverty volition. And that God will provide for his poverty volition all that is necessary in discernment and knowledge and wisdom, etc. In regards to what direction, choices, and things to make of life. And bringing his life about. And it continues, "In your presence is fullness of joy." Joy in a saturated state. In his presence is in his face, his countenance. So the idea of seeing God smiling. It will manifest itself in terms of happiness and joy when we visibly in our souls, if before the resurrection or our resurrection bodies, the countenance of God, his face. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. And all these things are made available to David because of his positive volition. His immutability is that attribute that says he's unchangeable and he's faithful in regards to these things. So see, God is determined to share his eternal blessedness and joy with created beings. One of the purposes for creation, to share the splendor and majesty of his person with beings that can appreciate that. Not through some robotic programming, but through their own free will of coming to recognition and understanding in regards to God and what he represents in his person. So D, his plus H is revealed in his viewpoint, which he has communicated to us through his word, Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine is how God is able to reveal to us what this happiness is all about and how to possess it, how to acquire it, and how to not only maintain it but sustain it and keep it going. So Bible doctrine gives us all the guidelines, all the direction necessary to apprehend something that any normal person would love to have, and that's to be happy all the time. Don't worry, be happy. Make the song a reality. See, as little as they probably knew when they penned those words, it's doctrinal. Don't worry, be happy. We are not to be anxious or worry over things. We are to isolate our sin natures. We are to draw on our inner happiness, our inner peace, etc. in regards to our lives. Sun can shine on any dog's ass on occasion, can it not? even an unbeliever, comes up with doctrinal standards, but yet, obviously, it's all painted with their human viewpoint approach. So he, therefore, his word, Bible doctrine, is a source of plus H for men. It is how one will learn to acquire, possess it, and to experience it in regards to their Christian life. Psalm 19:8. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's blameless. It's completely righteous. The Mosaic law, if you can keep the law perfectly, obviously you can go to heaven on your own merits. That's how Jesus got in. But obviously, we understand he was minus an STA, so therefore did not have any type of judgment counted against him to begin with. But either way, and it restores the soul, whatever ups and downs we may face in our Christian life through testing, persecutions, sometimes just things just don't seem like they're going your way. Holding to the truth of doctrine, God's Word, refreshes the soul. As a sheep, I can remember many times in my Christian life under testing in regards to work or other things and other matters, and couldn't wait to be in Bible class because I knew after that hour I walked out, my whole persona and emotions would be on an even keel and I would be refreshed. And it worked every time. I mean, every time. I honestly cannot tell you one time that I walked out and I didn't have the satisfaction and contentment that comes from doctrine in that respect. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you, that's my experience. So I know it to be true. You can't pull the wool over my eyes with that one. It is true. See, so restoring the soul, refreshment of being in one's mind, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. With Bible doctrine, you don't have to have a PhD in philosophy or any other type of academic assets in regards to what the world considers to be of most value. You can be the wisest of people that walk on this planet with Bible doctrine, even with a grade school education. Or even little to no education. Obviously, you got to be able to read and hear and discern and understand vocabulary and things of this nature, which is normal for all. Making wise is simple. People that the world otherwise would look at, and they are nothing. They're just wasting their lives. They restrict themselves in regards to the advantages that are offered in the world by relocating sometimes to get a better paying job or better position, the environment. Yeah, I'll move on down to the beach. You like it down there so much, go ahead. You may want to wait a year if you're moving down south. But anyway, see, all these other reasonings that people give, see. People on doctrine, because they commit themselves to their right shepherd, their right local church, understand their importance to that particular body of Christ, are not willing, and they forego maybe even opportunities otherwise to do these things. And people look upon them and say, that's stupid. We'll see. If as far as you can look at is to the end of this life, and that's it, I understand where you're coming from. But otherwise, we'll see, because life exists after that. And we'll see in the afterlife exactly how it will all play out for each of us then. Who was simple and who was wise. The simplicity is seen in our single objective of reprogramming our mind with the divine viewpoint of Christ. That's the simplicity of it. And it's not a hard, difficult thing. It's not a yoke that none of us cannot bear otherwise. God gives us wheels and a motor nowadays. You know, at least you don't have to harness the horse or jump the camel or whatever, ride the donkey. Yeah. You can drive. You actually have heat in the winter. Well, it's cold up here. Yeah, but you got a heater, don't you? If you don't, come to us. We'll help you with Living Grace and get you a heater. People and their excuses, how simple it is. But the world's all wrapped up in these things. We are not of the world. We live in the world, and we are to utilize it to our advantage in regards to fulfilling God's plan for our life. But we're not of the world in our thinking. In verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. If there's anything that should stimulate your plus age, it's the truth of Bible doctrine. It should cause your heart to rejoice, to recognize you understand this. The doctrine, the depth of doctrine that God has blessed each and every one of us with over the years is not a penance, a blessing. It is an immense blessing. Recognizing the fact that most of these people are blind to these things. The people running around there out in the world are blind to the realities of the world, of what's occurring around them in our country and across the international movement of mankind otherwise. We know. We have insight, see. And we should extract from that plus age, joy within the very essence of our thinking and being. Because we know something that negative volition does not know. And when you count the heads, you'll see who's in the minority in knowing versus not knowing. And the Bible makes that very clear. The knowing are the exception to the rule. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Bible doctrine here illustrated under the Mosaic Law takes the effect of the illumination of Bible doctrine for its purpose to enlighten each and every one of us. And that's our soulish eyes. See, our soulish eyes. It really is quite a phenomenon when you think about the understanding of Bible doctrine by positive volition and time compared to the rest of the world. Even the fundy world, they're so out of it. You know, don't give these people excuses. Yeah, they're believers. I recognize that. They may even stumble across from SG3 on occasion. But if they're not dedicated to the teaching the truth of Bible doctrine, at least to the extent that you see in regards to other adjusted local churches otherwise, then they're missing the boat. Even the depth of which sometimes I see God enlightening us in regards to doctrine. Still, you can't avoid thinking that you're barely getting there. See. And if it takes that much work, then those who are doing less obviously are falling short in regards to responsibilities before God. And to that degree, they remain ignorant in regards to spiritual realities. People give God lip service. They can even give doctrine lip service. But their heart could still be far away from Him. Wrong intentions, wrong motivations, wrong applications, see, in regards to doctrine. So that's Psalms 19:8, Proverbs 3. Happiness, joy, obviously a byproduct of blessing that comes in one's life, of finding favor with God. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Verse 13. And the man who gains understanding. Divine wisdom means, first and foremost, you must get where Bible doctrine is being taught. And for those who are seekers of that degree, God will bring into their periphery whatever is necessary to lead them to the truth and even under their right shepherd. And when one steps foot in regards to a doctrinally oriented ministry in that regard, God says they're blessed. And the man who gains understanding, that then looks at the fact that it's not just enough to find out just a local church and walk in and visit it on occasion. That means that one then has committed themselves to continue to seek for that wisdom under the consistent teaching, face-to-face teaching in that vein. See? And that's how you gain understanding, you gain discernment. You follow the divine protocol that is established under the royal chain of command with respect to how you apprehend the truth of doctrine, getting in fellowship, and actually using your Bible. Just not bring out the band. Bring your own instruments. And then he goes on to give the reason why wisdom is such a blessing, and that is because of this immense value, especially as it's established in its spiritual and eternal state. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain in fine gold. Those precious metals in eternity will have absolutely no value in regards to you obtaining and acquiring assets. Now, we need money, and now you don't even need silver and gold. I'll just print it for you. But anyway, before we became so corrupt by letting the world bankers start running our government, you know, gold and silver were standards used to support the value of the currency. And in phase three, these things are not going to buy you SG3. There's only one thing that can buy you SG3. That's being in fellowship and applying Bible doctrine. Divine good production. She is more precious than jewels, verse 15. Diamonds, rubies, sapphires, all these other jewels that everybody goes ooh and ah, especially when the lady or the wife shows up with the new ring or earrings or whatever. It's like every woman around just, oh, I got to see that. All these things, obviously considered to man in time, of being extreme value. And nothing you desire compares with her. You can name anything else in life. There is absolutely no comparison. So don't even try to compare it, you know, for the doctrinally adjusted, when people want to give you excuses why something is more important than consistent face-to-face teaching in your life, you need to look them square in the eyes. Don't even compare that to me with me in regards to Bible doctrine and its importance. That's what the Bible says. See. Long life is in her right hand. Another attribute that becomes an asset in regards to one apprehending doctrine, possessing doctrine. And obviously, while physical life may be short, and shorter for some than others, the eternal life will fulfill that statement in its entirety. In her left hand are riches and honors, and that includes both time as well as eternity. Riches and honors don't always have to come in the way of being plastered as you know, the Hollywood star or the prime athlete all over TV and everything else in that regards. Now, it comes in many, many and different ways. And it's the orientation and acclimation that makes a difference. People may honor someone for some great feat, but everybody looks down their nose on the person, you know, what is that? Part of their honor, part of their glory, are the accolades that are associated with it and the support that you receive in regards to those giving you that honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. There's your contentment. your peace within that is associated with the happiness of apprehending and finding an apprehending doctrine. And all our paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. Well, that happiness, obviously, as so presented, is designed to be perpetuated in regards to one's life. But that means that you must hold her fast. You've got to maintain your NPR. You've got to maintain your regimen of rebound and prayer and application of doctrine in your life and your continued spiritual matriculation and growth. Those are the people that will find maximum happiness in this life. And you may think, well, I don't see how I can be any more happy if God dumped $1 billion in my lap. Well, without Bible doctrine, that $1 billion may not bring you the happiness you think you're going to get from it. See that plus H? Oh, excuse me. I'm jumping all over the place here. Point E. Proverbs 16:20. I am not done with this point yet. Who gives attention to the word will find good. A good encompasses all those things considered good. Blessing, happiness, peace, contentment, joy, etc. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Faith rest. Faith rest can take your rack nerves and just lay them out, calm as can be, if you'll practice it. How often have we all probably found ourselves at some given moment in time wrapped around the axle over something, and then under fear or under anxiety because of a situation or condition or whatever. And then turn around and just to bring the doctrine out, recognizing that God has control. God will take care of this. And watch the anxiety melt away. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah the prophet, your words in regards to Yahweh were found and I ate them. That means that he didn't come and give a little attention in regards to the communication of doctrine. He thoroughly digested it. That means he thought about it. He sought to enjoy through his taste buds and things of this nature, as the metaphor here tries to color all this. The exact nature the pleasure of acquiring and hearing the doctrine and the truth. And your words became for me a joy, verse 16, and the delight of my heart. Like having your favorite dessert, satiating your taste buds, etc., in time for your favorite food. For I have been called by your name, O Yahweh Elohim of the armies, O Lord God of hosts. The just communicator stands on the reputation of God. And there is a certain happiness and joy that comes from recognizing that God is completely and totally in one's ministry. John 17:13, New Testament. we can have the same inner happiness, the same joy as our Lord and Savior did in His ministry, in the incarnation. But now I come to you in His high priestly prayer here, Christ praying. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves, complete. So one of the reasons why I teach Bible doctrine is to make you happy. Happiness in its complete form. But that's only possible if you are one of those who do find wisdom to begin with, and then gain understanding in regards to it. But the purpose of communicating is to provide this one pleasure in life. Happiness. Of many pleasures, obviously. Then confer Matthew 13:20. In the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower being the communicator of doctrine, spreading the seed of doctrine, laying on the soil, which is the volitional aspect of the soul of those hearers of doctrine. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, verse 19, that is the plan of God, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That does not understand means that they reject it with their own negative volition. Doesn't mean that they can't hear the words, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. they don't understand what you're saying. No, they understand that. But their understanding is understanding it within the depths of the very gravity of what it means in regards to their eternal life. They reject that. They dismiss it in the importance and the fullness of its reality. And the distractions of the world, etc., along with their own STA, basically dismisses it, snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. It's there, and it will be evidence against him at the great white throne judgment if they don't ever come to saving faith to begin with. See, you heard the gospel. And it's going to be harder on them than those pagans who never heard the gospel. In regards to their lifestyle in the lake of fire. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road, the hard pan soil. And the one whose seed was sown on the rocky places, verse 20. Now he's already brought up the parable. He's now explaining it. This is a man who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, he becomes a believer, saving faith. And that brings about joy. Even as far back as I can remember when I first believed at the age of God consciousness, I can still almost relate to an emotional peace or happiness of my action. It's like it's there, it's indelible, almost. Anyway, that's just my experience. It doesn't mean that yours is that way. People may forget they even believe. Yet he has no firm root in himself, verse 21, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. The believer who has little to no phase 2 positive volition. And the persecution is what gets them, the pressure of the world in terms of adversity now not being liked by people, etc., etc. In verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, the worry of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word and becomes unfruitful. That is one who is obviously phase 2 to a certain degree. God tends to bless them, but otherwise they start letting their SCA control their lives. And the next thing you know, what was their NPR takes a back seat in regards to other pursuits in regards to their life. And they end up crashing and burning, if you will, spiritually. That is, they fail to get the prize because they did not achieve faithfulness and hold to the end. And then verse 23, and the one on whose seed was sown in the good soil is this man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, 60, some 60, and some 30. Recognizing that people will all have different levels of application, different, if you will, amounts of SG3 in their account. But the issue there is that these are those who make the maturity adjustment. They do hold to the end. And no matter what amount of SG3 they may have coming along the way, they are all prize contenders because they held in there with it. So, anyway. But hearing the word, you hear it with joy, was our example there, verse 20. So we have all of his works produce plus age, that's God's works, and those that are adjusted to him. Don't say that it's not available, it is. Job 38:7. God created the original heavens and earth, his works. It stimulated the emotions of the angelic creation. When the morning stars sang together, which is language denoting the angelic hosts, and all the sons of God, other further language, recognizing they are in relationship with God, shouted for joy. To see God's creative power of nature and its exercise is to stimulate joy, happiness within, recognizing that He is the power behind it and He controls it. No matter how devastating it may be to some people otherwise, He is still in control. Most of history now, things occur because God has permitted it to occur, but all that is to fulfill His sovereign will in regards to the history of mankind otherwise. Psalm 92:4. Song that is intended to be sung on the Sabbath. Using instruments as so desired. Doctrine is to be can be communicated through music. And it's acceptable before God even as part of formal worship. And verse 4, the psalmist says, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done in regards to the creation of the natural universe and all the aspects that are associated with it." He says, "I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." Don't worry, man's not going to screw it up so bad that it can't be straightened out. Nothing man can do, God couldn't undo, anytime He so chooses to do so. Psalm 139:14. Doesn't mean to be stupid. We are to be good caretakers in regards to God's creation. you know how greed is. Good caretaking, it goes out the window often. Psalm 139, 14. In regards to your very body and creation of your soul and body, the psalmist declares, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully looks at the aspects of human creation that is fragile on one part, can be dangerous on another part, but the meticulous makeup in regards to the human body definitely is in mind, described by the word wonderfully made. People can have their own ideas, etc. The body can often produce that which is necessary within itself, if given the right nutrients and things of this nature, to heal itself, to have a strong immune system. But of course, our society says now drugs are better. We don't want to make you well and screw up our industry. There's a lot of money being made here. Wonderful are your works. Wonderful are your works. The idea of things of creation, certain aspects of God's lower creation, as well as human beings, the idea of that somehow coming about by chance, that is one of the most ridiculous, stupid ideas Satan ever came up with, and he knew that the majority of the world would fall for it. The sophistication, oh, all this happened by chance. It just took millions and millions and millions of years. There is not enough millions or billions or trillions in the numbers to count for the number of years that one could come up with what we see today in form of creation. There is not. So, and here our government and society wants to force the ludicrousy of this type of academia down your child's throat. Well, you're in Satan's world. I mean, you're in Rome. You do as the Romans do. I guess the way you can approach it is say, look here, you can learn to see how stupid the world is and learn these things so you know your enemy. But here's the reality of it. And don't go around trying to cause trouble over it. That's not going to accomplish anything. You don't go up and you don't swat a big hornet's nest. See, just to stir things up. That was my job. I'm old enough. I got over it, so you don't need to do that. I used to love to do kind of stuff like that. It's just part of my STA training. Twit people, see what you can do, set people off, things of that nature. Thank God I quit that, huh? G, even much of the general happiness that men enjoy today, including unbelievers, comes to them based on the divine institutions, which is a function of God's wisdom. The divine institutions, the freedom of volition, free will. To have that freedom brings about happiness and joy for people. That's when people are content. Marriage, right man, right woman, even though it has been bastardized by society. Still, the happiness that comes about in regards to the normal heterosexual marriages. Maximum happiness. Family. Children. Your own children. Children that don't belong to the government. They belong to you. to raise them under your perspective of life, whether good or bad. And then nationalism. I still can't get out of my mind in regards to the Masonic symbols, in regards to their calendar just before the beast is supposed to arrive and things of this nature, of their mention of the last Trump. The last nationalist. I think that's what we've probably got in the White House right now. He's probably the last thing you're going to come to close to being a nationalist, even though obviously his hands are deep in internationalism in and of itself. But at least he makes the noises and he seems to go that direction. That's why people don't like him. That's one reason why he is greatly hated. So I'll leave you with that. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.